Hello and welcome to
Ghostbeat,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
Hi. We watched Alien and Aliens, which is still like the best naming convention ever, in preparation for Alien Romulus coming out. So Alien came out in 1979, directed by Ridley Scott. Doesn't really need an introduction. But I did think it's interesting. I think the only movie he directed before this is something called The Duelist, which I've never seen. But there's a lot to talk about with this movie, obviously. This is like big time classic, huge part of my childhood, which we'll get into. But I do think it's interesting in context that he wasn't like this big, well-known director at the time. And this is like, it's such a weird, like it's a sci-fi horror movie made during a time when most of these kind of movies were pretty, they were like B movies, you know, they weren't really taken very seriously. And he came in and was like, no, I'm going to make this serious and really fucking scary. And he wound up like revolutionizing this whole genre. I think that's like undeniable. And I think I didn't even have that kind of context at the time when I first saw this. But, you know, up front, if we're not talking spoilers, I mean, there's not a lot to talk about since I think most people are very aware of this movie. But I do think it's fun to just talk about our connection to it, because I don't know exactly. I know you'd seen it already, right?
I had like sort of seen it.
Yeah.
Like not like the whole movie. It was like on in the background kind of thing. Like,
I think
my parents are probably watching it with like some friends or whatever. I didn't watch the whole movie.
So it wasn't like a life-changing, influential movie for you like it was for me.
No, but it could have been.
Well, for me, like the funny thing is this is something that the 80s were a very different time, let's say. Okay. Because I was trying to think like how old was I when I saw this? And I think I was in like second grade maybe. So that's like six or seven. And that might be, you know, a little young for this, but hey, shout out to my dad, okay? Like, for real.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool movie to show.
We could definitely thank my dad for this, because this was something I think early on, like I was never into sports or anything like that, which I'm sure was very disappointing to my dad. But the thing that we like really bonded over was movies, and he would show me, I think he started with like Jason and the Argonauts and like stuff like that. Stuff that was like really big for him when he was a kid. And we kind of graduated into stuff that I guess you'd normally think I was way too young for, like Alien and Predator and stuff like that. But like, I remember at the time feeling like this shit was just so fucking cool. It just felt like it, because you know, when you're growing up on cartoons and shit, and then you watch something like Alien, it's like you're looking into this adult world that you normally don't have any exposure to, and it feels like super exciting and crazy. And I guess, you know, credit to my dad, he realized that I could handle it, I'd be okay with it, and I was fine. Like, it's not like I had fucking nightmares about this or anything. I just thought it was super cool. And I mean, second grade, that's when I started collecting like the Alien action figures and shit. So this was like, yeah, it was a very different time in history when They were straight up like making toys for kids based off of these like R-rated adult properties. But I did realize watching it now, this movie is definitely like, it is like a cozy movie for me, for sure. Because I've seen it so many times. It's been a little while since the last time I saw it, but it does kind of, it takes me back. I mean, it's a movie from my childhood, you know? So it definitely, it just felt very comfy. Yeah. Watching this again, I think I could really watch this movie like over and over again, you know. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting thinking about just how influential that this was, like to take this kind of this kind of like pulpy, like I said, like this B movie concept of, you know, this crew that discovers these alien organisms that basically implant like a parasite into you and then pop out, and then it's just a big crazy alien monster like stalking the crew. It's a very like corny kind of concept, but when you take it like dead fucking serious, like every step of the way, it is like, it's terrifying. And this is, In my opinion, this is like a perfect movie. Like, front to back, for sure.
No, I think that's completely fair to say.
Yeah, I think we'll go into that more, but like, I mean, it is something we talked about, because like we covered Leviathan on here, and it's really clear how it's so easy to take something like this, and like, if you get any of the little details wrong, it's like it shifts the balance so dramatically.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And in this movie, like, every bit of the art direction and everything, even the alien design, the fact that they went to H.R. Giger and based the designs off of his artwork, instead of just making it some generic monster, you know, it's like, that's what I'm talking about. It's like every little detail. And even like hearing about the way they did the special effects for the gore and stuff, like, very different time period. They were using like actual entrails from animals and shit. You know, it's like, I don't think they could really get away with that nowadays.
No, you could not.
And hearing about like the smell on set and stuff, it's okay, yeah, they're really going for it here. But there's so many iconic scenes in this movie. I mean, it's like I said, everyone has fucking seen this. Everyone's probably seen it 1,000 times. There's not a lot new that we can like contribute with movies like this.
Well, I mean, honestly, this was like really my first time fully watching the movie.
Yeah, I will be interested in hearing like how you felt about a lot of it. But if we're just talking in general, it's like, we did mention how like when we were watching it, how insane it is that this holds up, because, you know, one of the things people always point to is all the art design for the ship and the technology and everything. And it's such a weird, specific view of the future where you're still using like CRTs and like clunky buttons and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it doesn't feel like outdated. It's still like it's a very specific aesthetic that still works and looks like super fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I think everything like that, like, because even the alien itself, I mean, the alien is still fucking scary as shit. It's cool because at the end of the day, you know, it's a guy in a suit. And I think making the head like such a weird shape helps to make it look, I mean, more alien, you know, and less like a person. But they obviously have to like really keep it in the dark and use like creative photography, because there is a one part toward the end. Oh, we'll get into it in spoilers. Might as well wait, but there's a part where it's kind of like, okay, it's obvious it's just a fucking dude in the suit, but it still works. And it's just the execution is like so flawless. I mean, like I said, it's a perfect movie. But I mean, what really stood out to you, like, if you're considering this like your first time really watching it?
First of all, the special effects, practical effects are crazy, and the set design, everything is so intentional, and it just, I think it's so easy to go back to Leviathan and point out how to do it wrong and then how to do it right.
That's like if you trained an AI on Alien, and then we're like, all right, make something like that. And it's like all the little details, because we pointed out like the computer monitors and stuff, how they just don't make any sense. Like none of it does. And in this, everything feels like it makes sense.
Oh yeah.
You know, like every button functions.
Yeah, every single panel, every single door, like all of it like has a purpose and a function, and also aesthetically looks like good.
Yeah.
And I think I was like super surprised how well it holds up. Like, it really is still amazing, like aesthetically, to see. Like, there's so much texture and details, and it just makes me happy, because this is what like movie magic is. Like, this is what people are looking for in movies, at least people who like movies. Like,
I think that's why it had such a crazy impact on me. I mean, that's imagine you're 6 years old and you see this, it's like fucking mind blowing. You know, it's like, it definitely influenced a lot of things for me. It influenced my art, it influenced like the type of movies I was into. It definitely fed into my love of horror. And yet, back to what you're saying, like with all the set design and stuff, it's like, I think a lot of sci-fi movies, they go for like, you know, the big matte paintings, and, you know, it's like there's that sci-fi kind of art style. It's like that high fantasy almost. And in this, it does feel like, okay, well, these are like space truckers, basically. And so everything feels like really grounded and gritty. And it still manages, like, there's so many, I guess we'll get into it in the spoilers, but there are like certain areas in the set that do feel like every shot is like this sci-fi painting.
Yeah.
And it's just so much attention to detail and so much care in like every little tiny detail that's even on screen for like just a second, you know? And you don't see that too much. I mean, now I don't want to be one of those old people that's like, oh, fucking computers ruined everything. But it just feels like nowadays when they're like, well, let's just throw it in front of a green screen and just use computers to fill in the details and stuff. It just loses so much. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely, it's like a very special time in cinema.
Yeah.
Not to sound like a huge movie dork, but
no, it's
true.
No, I feel like a lot of people would agree with that. Like, yeah. It's not that computers ruined everything. It's that I think it took us a while to figure out how to utilize them, like, with other tools instead of, like, this is a easy solution. Let's slap it on. Like, it takes time for humans to figure out, oh, let me use multiple tools together.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, we've been going on a long time. We might as well just get right into spoilers because, I mean, I feel like we're just saying everything everyone's been saying about this movie. So let's get to the spoilers. So I think right away, like, one of the things that definitely still stood out to me is, like, the alien is still just scary as shit. Like, every part of it, like, everything from the facehugger, like, that shit is scary. I love the way they introduce this mystery of, like, once it attaches itself to his face, it's like, what's going on, what is it doing to him, you know? And then of course it leads up to the iconic chestburster scene, which you can only imagine, like, people in theaters when this came out were definitely shitting and pissing themselves watching that shit because it was just so fucking crazy. And there's all kind of stories about the people on set and, like, how the other actors weren't fully expecting this, you know, when they were filming it, and they kept of the mystery. Yeah, I mean, they did multiple takes and stuff, but I've heard about how they were, like, they were really trying to push for natural reactions, you know? And it is, like, that scene is one of the, like, classic, like, best scenes in movie history, you know? Because it's, like, the build-up to it, and then when everything kind of just explodes and goes to shit, it's just so crazy and chaotic and scary, and it's, like, so violent and visceral. It's just, it's perfect, and it holds up.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, everything with the alien, it still holds up and it's just still super scary. Like, one of the parts that always stood out to me is when they're first looking for the alien and chasing Jonesy, you know, and the one guy gets separated, and that whole set that he's in with, like, the chains hanging down and stuff, that's the one that, like, it really feels like this perfect, like, sci-fi painting. And the way it builds up and you hear the chains clinking and the water running down, it's like, it's just so eerie and creepy, and you're just waiting for something to happen. And when the alien does come out and kill him, it's like, it's terrifying. That was, I think when I first watched it, that was the part that really just fucked my shit up.
Yeah, those chains, like, reminded me of, like, Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because when you think logically about that stuff, it doesn't make a ton of sense. You know,
it's
like,
cool.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, the hanging chains and the water and stuff, like, why is all that there? But it creates this mood and this atmosphere and everything. It's just so perfect.
Yeah, but those chains also, like, had a function. Like, it's so he could hear. I think that's what impresses me so much, is just the intention is, like, in every single part.
And I think watching it now, the other thing I thought was really funny is Ash, the android. It's like, I guess I didn't really notice when I was younger so much, but the way that, like, the way he just, like, he fucking hates Ripley so bad. Like, the way that he's, like, he's so fucking annoyed. Like, every time that she says anything, he's like, ugh, like, just, like, rolling his eyes and just, like, ugh, like, just so pissed off. It's just so fucking funny. It's like, I don't know why he hates Ripley so fucking bad.
I mean, a man probably programmed. So. Whenever you hear a woman speaking, just tune it out.
Yeah, it was just, that shit was so fucking funny. And of course, leading up to, you know, the scene where he tries to kill her, that was also just, like, iconic. Because it's so scary that he's, like, so deadpan and is able to overpower her so easily.
Yeah.
There's so many of these little details in there that that just works so well. And we were talking about how, like, with the mother AI, how you have to go and talk to it. It's like you're basically just sitting down talking to ChatGPT, yeah. you know, and it's funny to think that we basically have that now.
Yeah.
You know, you don't think about that, but it's like we are living in the future. We have our own version of mother with ChatGPT. It did remind us, though, how fucking much that AI sucks, though, because yeah. when she's like asking it questions and it's being all difficult, it's like, of course, of course, like, fuck you. And for me, the ending is also super iconic when the ship is going into self-destruct and she has to escape. That's something that I feel like there was a lot of sci-fi around this time that was doing that exact same thing. And for whatever reason, like that was something as a kid that always stood out to me. Like the idea that at a certain point, she's the only survivor left and you feel that loneliness. Like when the last person gets killed and it's just Ripley, it really is like this really oppressive feeling that like, oh, she's the last one left. And I think that still is like super effective and creepy. And the part that like did, like I kind of mentioned earlier that the alien mostly holds up, but it's the part when she gets in the escape shuttle and she like blasts it with steam to get it to come out of the hiding spot. And it's basically just a dude in a suit, like rolling out of it. And it's like, it's very obvious for a second. It's just a guy. It's like kind of awkward. That's just, it's still just kind of funny, but I don't know. Were there any parts that like really stood out for you?
I feel like obviously the facehugger scene.
Yeah.
Just really impressed me because, again, it could be so easy to just slap an alien on there and just be like, look, it's suffocating him. But like, mm-hmm. there's so much like function to the alien where it's like wrapping its tail around the neck and then like, it's like,
yeah,
it's like in your face and it becomes like a mask almost. And I feel like it just comes across so well. Like it could have been so easy really to just not care. But like the fact that that alien has its own way of living and attaching to things and stuff is, I just find really impressive.
Well, they were creating, like, I don't know if they even realized it at the time, but they were creating this insane lore that has, like, held up for decades mm-hmm. and been used in, like, a billion other movies and comics and books and all kinds of stuff. It's funny to think, because this is the perfect example of they kind of just give you as much as you need. Because, I mean, they're exploring this derelict ship. There's, like, no explanation of this, the whatever aliens were piloting the ship. You just get that one giant figure, which unfortunately comes back in a later movie in Prometheus. I don't know if you've seen that.
I might have.
It's so crazy to me that like it's just crazy to me how like detached you are from this whole series, because it's like this is like a defining part of my life basically.
Well, see, I really never had a huge interest in sci-fi for a long time.
I can see that.
So it kind of missed my radar there. And also, I had seen so many different parodies of the alien thing, you know, growing up, that I was like, okay, get the idea. Like, you know, I never really got to sit down and watch the whole movie. And I obviously, as an adult, appreciate it so much. But, you know, like, I didn't really have that sci-fi influence, you know, until much later.
That's funny, because I think this was a big thing for me. It was like sci-fi horror, but I wasn't really into slashers until I met you.
And okay.
Like you introduced me to Halloween and stuff. I mean, I liked Friday the 13th. That's been a big part of my life. But outside of that, I was never a big slasher fan until I met you. Now I love slashers. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is like your blind spot.
Yeah, we married our tastes.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, and I want to go through all of these with you, because there's definitely like ups and downs, but I think there's good stuff in every one of these movies. It'll be really interesting when we watch Alien 3, because that's one that like really disappointed me when I was a kid, but I think there's been like this resurgence in appreciation for it.
Okay.
Because I also wanted to point out that like, you know, when I was a kid, the second movie, Aliens, was like the one. Like, we'll go way more into that when we talk about that movie. But I mean, I loved the first movie, but I think as I got older, I just grew to appreciate the first one a lot more, because it is like, it's the atmosphere, all the horror elements are just so perfect in this, and this is like way more my vibe than like the big over-the-top action movie. So as much as I've always loved this movie, I think I've grown to love it even more the older I get. But I don't know. I think that's one of the things with Romulus. I think, unfortunately, with series like this one, yeah, what I was saying is like they kind of drip feed you this little bit of lore, and it feels like it's such a perfect structure that it's like, instead of it just being, you know, this creature right out the gate, it's like first you have the egg, and then you have the face hugger, and it's every step of the way you're kind of wondering like what's coming next. Like you're fully unaware of like the danger, and even like when it pops out of them, it's like this little fucking baby, and so they're going after it thinking it's like this tiny little alien they just gotta stomp out, but it grows so quickly, so when it's fully grown, it's this like shocking revelation, you know?
Yeah, I have to say, I'm glad you brought up the egg, because the design of the egg, it's like special effects gold.
Yeah.
Like the way that they made this prop, it's like 100% believable to me. Like, okay, is definitely an alien egg. Like, I get it.
Yeah, and the way it opens up and inside so cool. of it, it's like all that fleshy stuff. Yeah,
I love the goo. Cool. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like really gross, but it feels real.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that's missing from a lot of horror nowadays.
It is, yeah.
But I was saying, like, I think that's the thing that they've kind of been chasing, is every time a new Alien movie comes out, it's like you're hoping they kind of go back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we haven't seen Romulus yet. Obviously, it's not out yet. But I think that's the big hope everyone has with, I think, Fede Alvarez. I hope that's how you say his name. But he did the Evil Dead remake.
Okay. Okay.
And he did Don't Breathe.
Okay.
And he seems like from what we've seen from the ads for Romulus and stuff, it's like, please, please, let this go back to like that original dark feeling.
From
you know?
What I remember, at least in the Evil Dead remake, it did seem like there was like a little bit of practical effects in there.
Oh, yeah.
So I think we should hopefully be okay.
Yeah, it looks good, and I have a lot of faith, because I really love that remake.
Me too.
It was like way better than I felt like it had any right to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it did, like, we don't need to go on a whole tangent, but it did kind of what you needed to, in that it feels very different and very new, but it's still I don't want something that's just going to be retreading the original, you know, with maybe like a new coat of paint. I like that it was something new and fresh. And hopefully we'll get that with Romulus too.
Yeah, I think that's honestly what I'm asking of remakes, is like, don't do the movie again.
Yeah.
Like, do something else. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I got anything else for this one. That it was really nice going back to it, though. Like, it's just funny how quickly it just felt so cozy, like as soon as it started, especially for something that's like this dark and scary. But I think a lot of horror fans can relate that.
Yeah.
You know, while some people might watch horror and it's like very stressful for them, it's like, for me, it's like, oh, this is my comfort zone. This feels great. Yeah.
And it's Sigourney Weaver, right? She's so beautiful and so iconic in this movie. And just have to like at least shout that.
Because, I mean, that goes without saying. This definitely like really kicked her career off. And she is like an iconic horror actress now.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have anything else about this one?
No.
Okay, you can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links, or search for Ghost Beast Pod. You can also follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd, where we rank all of the movies. Uh-oh, this one is a 5-star movie, so let's see where it's going to go. This might be number one.
Oh my God.
Uh-oh. So right now, our number one is Cat People. So I feel like this is like the battle of our...
It's literally us head-to-head.
Yes.
I don't know. Oh my God. Can we tie? It.
There can only be one.
Oh my God.
So what do you think?
I don't know. I feel like this needs to be a bigger discussion. This might affect our marriage.
Uh-oh. Okay. For the sake of peace in this marriage, I am okay putting it number two, because I appreciate Cat People a lot as well.
Yeah, the thing is, I think I might be okay with it being number one, because, and look, I love Cat People so much, but the practical effects in Alien are just like god tier.
Iconic.
Yeah.
Say less. Number one on our ghost fees list is
Nance
Alien.
Didn't even need a rebut to that. You just went right into it.
You can contact us at podcast@ghostfeast.com. I don't have anything. Like and subscribe.
I don't have anything?
Well, I mean, I usually try to give someone an idea of like what they can
Oh, yeah, send just us. Email us.
Sure. Bye-bye.